thanks, Brian's first words to me were, "Nice blouse." And then later, another couple in the church said that I looked like a hippie, and they were not saying it in the nice way. So, yeah, I'm teasing. I'm over it, Brian. It hurt at first, but I'm good now. Because today is too joyful of a day to be down on something silly like that. Jesus Christ is alive. Our faith is not in vain. We have a living hope. That's why we're so happy on this day. So I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 24. We are going to read together the account of what happened on the morning of the third day, especially with that stone that's rolled away from the tomb. Now, before we read that scripture, though, I want to just say I am so thankful to hear all the little voices and even cries and screamings of, I imagine there are hallelujahs that are being screamed out. This, our family Sunday, we don't do this all the time, but on these Sundays, we want everybody together. And one of the things that I want to do is something that we tried at the end of last year, and that is we tinkered with how we did family Sundays a little bit. And I heard your feedback about how we needed to maybe change it up a bit. So I listened to you. So I've got a 2-hour reflection on the resurrection ready to go. That's what you wanted, right, Nathaniel?
Give us some more.
More, okay. No, I'm teasing. What we're going to do is we're going to actually make this a little bit interactive, and especially times, just like we did in the prayer time, for moms and dads to gather kids and extended family around, or if you're like me and you don't have children, to be able to gather with friends or people nearby you and kind of talk and engage a little bit about the significance of the resurrection. That's our plan for today. And it's going to start with the scripture reading, because in just a second, I'm going to read this passage, and it has in it multiple times this phrase, "He is risen." And what do you say on Easter when you hear, "He is risen"?
He is risen.
That's right. And boys and girls that are in here, I especially want to hear you help with that. So when I say, "He is risen," you say,
"He is risen."
Yeah, all right. That was awesome. We're ready to go. So let's stand for the reading of God's word. This is something that we do at church just to say that, hey, the Bible is more than just a human book. It is the very word of God. And one way we can remind ourselves of that is standing in honor of it when we read, because it points us to Jesus. And God's word says this: "On the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen.'"
He is risen indeed.
Yes! "Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. He is risen."
He is risen indeed.
Yes. "And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest." This is the word of God. I'll say it again. He is risen. Good job, my friends. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that the next few moments as we discuss with one another and even as I speak, that you would bless the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing in your sight. It's in the name of Jesus that we ask. Amen. Amen. Thanks for standing. You guys go ahead and be seated. Now, what I have for us today is I've got some pictures up on the slide. We're not going to go to them yet because let me explain what we're doing. I've gotten a little bit of an assist from the resurrection eggs. Have you guys ever heard of these? Resurrection eggs? Maybe some of you moms and dads out here know. It's like Easter eggs, but inside each egg, there's little tokens or miniatures of different scenes from Holy Week to be able to kind of be teaching our hearts and the hearts of our kids about what led up to Easter. Because sometimes we just wake up Easter morning and we're like, woohoo, we get to say he is risen. He is risen indeed today. We're so excited about that we forget all that came before to get us to the joy of Easter morning. It's the culmination of a long story that came before. And so these resurrection eggs help sort of see that. And so I'm going to have you break up into the groups that you were in just before. And moms and dads, I really want you to ask your kids what they see on the slides and what it is about that that connects with the Easter story. And if you don't know, that's okay, because I'm going to have the Bible verse up there for maybe you to read together from the scripture. Now, if you're older, if you're gathering with friends or the people nearby you, your mission will be similar, identifying what's up there. But then I want you to talk about what the significance is to you about that moment in Jesus' life, especially as he approached the cross and the resurrection. You got it? You with me? You don't seem very excited. Yes. You should be. Because, well, you're probably scared that's going to be really hard. I'm going to start you off with an easy one, all right? So as you're getting into your groups, here's where we're starting. What is that, and what does it have to do with Easter? All right, guys, I'll give you 10 seconds closing up. Well, you didn't need 10 seconds, obviously. Got really quiet there. Okay, somebody shout out to me. What is this thing? What you got, Jamie? That's right. It's a palm branch from Palm Sunday. And what's significant about that? What happened to Jesus then? That's right. He rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Everybody's waving the palm saying, "Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." This is the start of it all. Now the second one is a little harder. Don't be too mad at me. Here we go. What is that? What has it to do with Easter? All right, a few more seconds as you finish up. All right, anybody able to figure out what that is? How about you, Arrow? What do you think? It's a towel, that's right. And Salem, what does that towel have to do with Easter? That's right, Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Good job, guys. And hey, how about one of our adults out here? What's special about that? What does it tell you about Jesus? And okay, I'll go with one of the current kids. Any one of you guys. I didn't hear it. Could you yell it out to me, Patrick? Yes, that Jesus showing how we should serve one another, right? Good job. Okay, we're going to keep moving here. This one, oh, this one's easy. I think we already got our answer, but let's talk amongst ourselves anyways. All right, a few more seconds. And then I have someone who's had their hand raised the entire time that I'm going to call on. Luca, what do you think? What is this? That's right. It's the communion. It's the bread that symbolizes his body, the wine that symbolizes his blood. Good job. And hey, somebody tell me, when did Jesus serve this meal? It was a Passover meal, but it was the night before what? Well, close. It was the night before his betrayal, the night before one of his friends would turn against him. So that leads us to, I only have two more pictures. This is my favorite one, though. What is that? And what does it have to do with Easter? All right, I want to hear what you think. First of all, what is this a picture of? Oh, how about Victoria? I haven't seen your hand. That is exactly right. Good job. This was the sad sign that Peter would deny knowing Jesus three times, and once he did, the rooster crowed. And if any of you guys were out at the ranch for our sunrise worship this morning, you got to hear a lot of rooster action. Okay, so here's the last one. It's the one that kind of brings us full circle. How about take just a short little 30 seconds to discuss what this is and what it means? All right. So, Winnie, I see you way in the back, brother. You're going to have to yell loud so I can hear you. Can you do it? That's very good. God brought Jesus out of the tomb. He brought him alive again. And so here's the most important thing about this picture that Wynn just told us about. Kids, tell me, what is inside that tomb?
Jesus.
Nothing. He's not there anymore. And in fact, that's what we read in our text, is the angels are sitting on that stone, and when everybody shows up, they say, guess what? He ain't here anymore. He's risen. And the only thing left in that empty tomb, he's risen indeed, you got it, are the empty grave clothes that Jesus had worn, but now he doesn't need to anymore because he's alive. And that phrase, he is not here, but he is risen, it just hits like a thunderbolt, because here's all that it means. Jesus is the eternal Son of God. Amen? Amen. Jesus' death on the cross atoned fully for our sins once and for all. Amen? All that Jesus has taught is true and right and good. He has conquered death. Amen?
Amen?
But here's maybe the most important amen. When the disciples show up and see this empty tomb, what they realize is that their faith had not been in vain. They had not given their life to a lie. What they had given their life to was the truth that Jesus was the Son of God and the Savior of sinners. It had been vindicated. You know, there's a verse, it's actually really close to that portion of scripture that we prayed over earlier. It's the verse that says, if there is no resurrection from the dead, then we, that is, we that have given our lives to Jesus Christ, are the most pitiful of all people in the world. You realize that? Everything hinges on this. Everything hinges on resurrection. Without it, our faith falls apart. And sometimes we believe the lie that Christianity is just this good set of values and rules. And you know what? We'd keep doing it even if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, even if he isn't the Son of God. Nonsense. Without his resurrection, it's a lie. So when the disciples and we vicariously, when we read the text, come to the tomb and see that it is empty, that he is no longer there, it means that we breathe this deep sigh of joy and relief of knowing we haven't given our lives to a lie. Instead, we've given it to a Jesus who is alive and real and the eternal Son of God. I think I got thinking about this week because of a children's book that we gave you guys as a gift. And I say we, really it was Carrie, our children's ministry coordinator. She's got the greatest ideas ever. Sadly, she's home with the flu this week. Sorry, Carrie and her family. But I love this book because it's the upside down book. This, you know, is right side up. You might not be able to see it that well. I think I've got it up on the screen here. It's called Darkest Night at the front, but then you flip it upside down. Oh, and look, The Brightest Day is next. And so it's this book that you go halfway through in the darkest night and it stops and it says, this is not the end of the story. And you flip it upside down and you get to read the rest and you get to read the vindication of when Jesus rose again. And so what I want to do, if you'll allow me, is to read just a very short passage that kind of reflects the one that we started with today, but it does so out of this wonderful, wonderful telling of the Easter story in this book. And I've got it on the wrong side. I need to go to Brightest Day side. So follow along with me if you would. I'm going to read this for us, and I've got the pictures up there. If you're wondering, how did Pastor Josh get that amazing photograph of the pictures? I'm pro with my iPhone, all right? You would be sad to know how long I tried to get that picture without any glare on it. So it's way too long. So here we go. At about the same time, just after sunrise, some women who were friends of Jesus arrived in the tomb in the garden. They were carrying fragrant spices and perfumes to anoint Jesus' body. The women had been worrying how they would ever be able to move the stone that had been set in front of the tomb opening. It was enormous and probably weighed as much as a horse. Imagine their surprise when arriving at the tomb, they found the stone rolled away. As they cautiously peered into the carved stone entrance, they saw the linen cloths in which Jesus' body had been wrapped, but the body was gone. Suddenly, two shining angels appeared. The women, alarmed and frightened, bowed their faces to the ground. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. Jesus was crucified, but he is not here. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Remember how he said he would be crucified, but then would rise from the dead on the third day. Now, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is alive, and you will all see him soon in Galilee." The women, still trembling but now joyful, hurried back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples everything they had seen and heard. I love this phrase that the women were still trembling but now joyful. They're trembling but full of joy. They had not believed a lie. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you haven't either. Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, the Savior of sinners, the one who has conquered death. And today, Resurrection Sunday, he proves it. He is risen. Let's pray. Father, confirm in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits that our Jesus is alive. that the empty tomb demands a response from us. And that you would give us the response to faithfully believe in Jesus as our Savior and to follow him wherever he leads. Because his resurrection on Easter morning is just a precursor of what's to come for those who believe in him. Lord, we ask it and pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.